Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batsworth. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, he is with me on Hotel Mars, and we're actually talking about Mars for once with Professor Alexis Rodriguez of the Planetary Science Institute. He, with his team, have discovered events that happened 3.4 billion years ago on the surface of Mars, Northern Hemisphere. And they discovered these things because their results of the event, the strike of an asteroid, is all around the landing zone of Viking 1 in 1976, which was unaware of all of these events until it landed. And I'm going to start with David's question of the remarks that the professors helped us understand so far about the reasoning of this event. David, you have a question for the professor.
Yes, Professor. I found it interesting that you have an Earth analog to Pohl crater, the Chicxulub, if I'm pronouncing it right, crater. Can you talk about that and why you think that's an analog to Pohl crater?
Absolutely. So basically, the analogy is essentially that the craters have like similar dimensions. They generated like similar megatsunamis, like based on the simulations. The megatsunamis actually flooded inland areas to similar extents. Now, that's like the overall similarity that is like actually very striking. Some people actually ask me about the climatic effect on Mars that Pohl could have had, you know? And that's actually a very, very hard question to answer, because you've got to remember that a lot of what we know of the late Hesperian climate of Mars is controversial. So to answer that question, we would have to depart from assumptions, right, that are wide-ranging today in today's hypothesis, right? So maybe if you had a thick atmosphere, let's say, right, and a much warmer and wetter climate, then the impact could have essentially like affected, you know, the global paleoclimatic evolution of the planet at that moment, you know, like, you know, very similar to the Earth analog. Now, if the opposite was true, if the atmosphere was very thin, then, you know, the impact on the paleoclimate would have been lower, right? You would have less dispersion of ejected like materials and gases, and basically maybe like some localized or regional fallout, you know, snow fallout or maybe rain precipitation. So that, I mean, those are the similarities and the differences that I can, you know, mention today. But remember that we didn't really look at that in the paper, so I'm just speculating.
Professor, I interrupted you describing the Pohl crater. You went searching for it, and you found a marine crater 900 kilometers northeast of the landing site of Viking 1. It's a very large crater. Do you speculate how large the asteroid would have been? Now, Chicxulub was striking in a shallow sea where the Yucatan is, and it struck from about the northeast. I think it came from the northeast about 45 kilometers per second. And it was said to be around 10 miles across. Can you speculate how big the Pohl crater asteroid was?
Well, yeah, based on the simulations we run, it would have been between 3 and 9 kilometers in diameter and moving at a speed of 10.6 kilometers per second. Okay. And this would have been a vertical impact in the simulation.
Straight in, not from an angle.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that is, you've located that, and that is satisfies all the terms of the phenomena that you've discovered at the Viking 1 site, or are there more things to discover? Because your paper indicates this might have happened more than once.
As far as the Viking 1 lander site is concerned, I think we have a pretty solid explanation for the origin of the deposits at the site. I don't think, you know, that there is more work that needs to be done in that particular area. I think that the future work actually would be more focused on looking for other possible craters. You know, as I mentioned before, finding these marine craters is very difficult because it's very hard to constrain them temporarily. Okay, so you have to find a crater. When you look at the northern plains of Mars, you're going to see a lot of craters. Okay. A lot of baric craters, a lot of surface craters. Now, as you know, like our current understanding of how Mars actually evolved, the Northern Ocean evolved, right? 3.4 billion years ago, is that it actually froze. So the ocean freezes and it becomes like an ice sheet, okay? Like we call this ice sheet the Vastitas Borealis formation. This is really important, okay? Because I'm going to say something now that has to be, like, you know, considered when you're thinking about marine craters on Mars. So, like, the Paleoceanic Basin is very large in the northern plains, but it's mostly covered by the Vastitas Borealis formation, by this ice sheet, right? Many craters that you see within these northern plains, right, are on top of the Vastitas Borealis formation, and they show ejecta blankets that cover like the surrounding Vastitas Borealis formation surfaces, right? This implies that those craters formed after the ocean completely froze, right? So even if you do crater counts on those craters and you get a similar age, you know, to the ocean, you know, like the late Hesperian, I mean, the error, you know, there could be huge. I mean, like, the late Hesperian alone is like 240 million years. Okay. So it's not just a moment in time. So, you know, all those craters that you see that are on top of the Vastitas Borealis formation are younger. Now, so there are a lot of buried craters as well. And that has been known for a while too, that many of these buried craters could be much older than the ocean because they form part of this, you know, northern plains basement. Okay. That is also Noachian in age. So, like, to find a crater, a marine crater, you have to find one that happened after the catastrophic floods inundated the northern plains and formed the ocean. And that's a check for Paul Crater. Paul Crater is actually on top of outflow channels, you know, that lead in Crissy Planitia that lead right into the ocean. So basically, it superposes the bed forms of, you know, these massive outflow channels. So you know that Paul formed after the ocean generating floods. Okay. Now, that's not enough because you could say, well, maybe it could have formed, you know, way after, you know, the ocean existed, you know, so that's only the base constraint. Now, there is another constraint here that is, you know, that I wanted to mention in this program because it's really important, I think. Paul is actually covered by the second, the younger mega tsunami deposit. Okay. So if you want me to elaborate on this a little bit, I will.
I do. When we continue, just a moment, Professor.
Okay.
We're speaking with Professor Alexis Rodriguez about the surface of Mars 3.4 billion years ago. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars About Mars, and I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.